الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين الصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We magnify the praise, we completely submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings and salutations upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this blessed and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He purifies our souls, our hearts and our minds, and enables us all to gather again in the gardens of paradise with the messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, we are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a pending opportunity in which we will, insha'Allah al-Aziz, enter once again into the beautiful, sacred and noble month of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in anticipation of the month and at the arrival of the month of Ramadan especially, would do the dua, Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil amni wal iman والسلامة والإسلام ربي وربك الله هلال رشد وخير. That, O Allah, this is a dua, that enable us to enter into this beautiful month with security and with faith. Enable us to enter with peace and with submission and faith and Islam. And your Lord and my Lord is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month in which we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidance and barakah and khair. So this was the dua that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would do. And this is something that we should also look to memorize and hopefully recite when the month of Ramadan enters upon us all, insha'Allah al-Aziz. But the question that I have for everybody here today is, in your own personal life, count how many Ramadans have come and gone. Some who are young, mashallah, very fortunate, they'll say perhaps we've had 5 to 10 Ramadans in our life. But those who are fortunate and blessed will say we've had 20, 25 Ramadans in our lives. Perhaps we've had 40 or 50 Ramadans in our lives. That's a very blessed thing to say and something to have been part and parcel of. But the question, more importantly, is that if you've had all of these Ramadans in your life, how much has your life changed? How much have you changed? Because the point of a Ramadan coming once and again and again and again in your life is to transform and change you. So if you are proud that you had 20 Ramadans or 30 Ramadans or even 15 Ramadans, how proud of you in terms of your change and your transformation? And if you have not changed, then the question is, why have you not changed? This is the month of khair. This is the month of hidayah. This is the month of barakah. This is the month of forgiveness. This is the month of rahmah. This is the month of idkum min al-nar. This is the month of taqwa, tahara. This is the month of the Quran. This is the month of Jannah. This is the month of Islam. So why have you not changed if you've had 20, 30, 40 opportunities? So perhaps now people who said they've had 20, they probably reduced that down to a lower number. The reason why we have not changed, perhaps, is because we don't prepare for the month of Ramadan wholehearted. We just go into the month of Ramadan, oh, it is here, and now let's just fast, because what we need to do is fulfill the fast during the day and the evening, and then that's it. But we don't actually prepare for the month of Ramadan with our souls, with our heart, with our mind. And this is what the greatest purpose of the month of Ramadan, that it is there to transform your tawheed, to make you understand and submit and surrender to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to see the ayat of Allah azza wa jalla all around you and surround you, for you to be even more stronger in your monotheistic belief in Allah azza wa jalla, for you to submit and surrender in totality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month which transforms your akhlaq, because you see the barakah and the khayr. This is the month where you engage with your neighbors and your community and your society, and you transform your akhlaq of sharing, of caring, of compassion, of empathy, of so many other things. Your akhlaq should change in this month. And this is the month of taqwa, as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you may become more acutely aware and conscious and closely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do those things that please Allah azza wa jal, and to keep away from those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, for myself and everybody else here, is that we barely get to truly taste this barakah and this khayr and the fruits and the beauty of the month of Ramadan. We just about taste it, and then the Ramadan has gone. And then we say, chalo, next year we'll see. Dekhi jaavi ki, the next year I'll try harder. Next year I'll do this. Next year I'll do that. And the next year, karte, we have 20, 25, 30, 40 years of Ramadan, and still saying next and next and next. So there is no real transformation. We don't really savor or truly enjoy the month of Ramadan. The Sahaba Ikram would prepare 6 months in advance in preparation for Ramadan. They'd be eager to welcome the month of Ramadan. And how much do we prepare in Sha'ban? And how much do we then also carry on Ramadan in Shawwal? Anyhow, the definition of insanity, you might be thinking, where is this coming from? But the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. So you do something once and again and again and again. Now ask yourself how many Ramadans you've had again and again and again. So the people who are clinically insane are classified as those who do things again and again, but they expect different results. So Yaro, how many Ramadans have we done, and how much results have we changed in our life? So if your heart is not tuned to attain taqwa, it is not processing the month of Ramadan in the correct way, and you're not achieving taqwa through fasting, then know that you are doing something inherently, intrinsically wrong. Something from the core, something from the source is going wrong. And that is why you're not attaining that taqwa, that tawheed, that akhlaq, that tahara, that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Ramadan gave all of this to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It gave everything, taqwa, tahara, purification, barakah, khayr, to the Sahaba ikram. It gave it to the tabi'een and the taba tabi'een and many, many other generations, and perhaps even now it still gives it to those people whose hearts are tuned to the month of Ramadan, who purify their hearts in preparation for the month of Ramadan. So if you are not achieving this tawheed and this akhlaq and this tahara and this taqwa and this barakah and khayr, then know that you are doing something wrong. There's nothing wrong with the masajid. There's nothing wrong with Taraweeh. There's nothing wrong with the Qur'an. There's nothing wrong with the Shahri Ramadan. There is something wrong with you inherently. So you are doing something wrong. Therefore, my plea to every single one of us is, let's not waste this Ramadan that is about to come again. Just though you may have had 20, 30 Ramadans in your life, don't let this Ramadan that is about to approach us just pass us by, until a day will come where we will reach our graves and we will say, where have all those opportunities gone? I wish I was able to go back and maximize my attention and my taqwa and my tahara and my tawheed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah azza wa jal himself has mentioned, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun ayyaman ma'dudat. And the ayah carries on to say, wa antasumu khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. But oh, you have believed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, so that you may become righteous, you may become closer, you may become more pure, you may become better in your akhlaq, in your tarbiyah, you may become better in your actions from your inward and your outer. This is the point of the month of Ramadan, for you to attain that taqwa. And it is for a limited amount of days every single year. But then we find so many people failing in fasting wholeheartedly, and also neglecting the month of Ramadan as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَأَنْتَ سُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that if you were to fast, but fast what? Wholeheartedly, it would be so much better for you. There will be so much barakah and khair for you. So this is why it's very important for us to really reflect upon the month, the Ramadan that have gone by in our past, and how we dealt with them, and then make this azam, make this firm intention and this niyyah to make sure that we do not let this month of Ramadan pass us away the way that so many others have passed us by. There were two Sahaba ikram, and they both fought valiantly in a battle. One took the shahada and he was martyred in the way of Islam, and the other one, he carried on to live one more year. How many years? One more year. And in that one extra year, he was able to see the month of Ramadan again. And after the month of Ramadan, then he passed away and returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that that brother of yours who passed away, who became a martyr, who became a shaheed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that brother who passed away a year later, he preceded the shaheed in entering into Jannah. He preceded him in getting more reward than the higher maqam. And the Sahaba ikram said, how is that possible? He was a shaheed. He fought and he gave his life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, yes, of course, there's no doubt about that. But this other brother, he was able to maximize his rewards in the Ramadan that came into his life. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an even higher maqam. So look at how one Ramadan can transform you, can change you, and give you so much of an elevating and a higher position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly seize this great opportunity. So think about how many opportunities, 20, 30 Ramadans that you've had, 40, 50 Ramadans you've had. Where should your maqam be? Where should your taqwa be? Where should your tahara be? Where should your tawheed be? Where should your akhlaq be? But where is it in reality? And there's nobody to blame except ourselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us this year after year. So I want you to just go with me in this particular moment as we develop the speech today. So if you go through a graveyard, you might be thinking, where's Ramadan and where's a graveyard? But just bear with me. If you go to the graveyard, and many people do go on a regular basis, the one thing that you all will see at every single graveyard is a tombstone, correct? You will see a stone which will say the name or have an inscription or an epitaph of that particular person. It may be their date of birth or the day that they passed away. It will be their name and various other things inscribed on that particular tombstone. So now imagine when we pass away, upon our tombstone there will be this inscription, which will show the reality of who we are to the rest of people and also to all of the worlds, and when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine on your gravestone, on your tombstone, it says, here lies someone who did not seek the true spirit of fasting. Imagine how you would feel. But then this is what we are doing by neglecting the month of Ramadan, by not preparing for the month of Ramadan. Ibadah, which is an act of worship, is meant to produce a change of heart. It makes you humble, it makes you soft, it makes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It changes your harsh-hearted heart and it makes it softer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that nobody else would be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Your wealth will not give you any benefit. Your children will not then give you benefit. What will give you benefit is a pure and a sound heart. So ibadah enables your heart to become pure and sound. And the purpose of sharia is to purify your heart. Purify your actions and your soul, so that your heart outwardly and inwardly becomes soft, and that you are able to enter into the gardens of paradise. So purifying the heart strengthening the heart, realizing the true spirit of Ramadan is very, very important for us, for our soul and for our heart. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that, beware. He even gave this tanbih. He said, beware that in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it becomes sound, if it becomes good, then the entire body will also become good and be reformed and it will also be sound. But if that piece of flesh is corrupt, then the entire body will also be spoiled and become corrupted as well. And indeed, that piece of flesh is none other than the heart. So ask yourselves in the month of Ramadan, how much effort and energy do we put in our spirituality? Do we put our focus on our heart to strengthen our heart, to soften our heart, to make sure that our heart becomes sound and free of all of the corruptions and the vices of the dunya? Or do we just fast outwardly but don't even reflect upon what is happening on the inside? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at our outer appearances. How tall we are, how short we are, how strong are we, any of these things. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, la yanzuru ila ajsamikum, bal yanzuru ila qulubikum. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks to the state and the quality and the soundness of your heart. So this is an important reminder for us all to prepare our hearts before the month of Ramadan approaches us. Imagine on your tombstone it says that here lies someone who did not fast from sins with his senses. That we fast when we keep away from water, we keep away from food and all of these things, but we don't fast with our senses. And this is a very, very important thing for us to reflect upon, because the senses are the doors to our heart. And this is a very important thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Sam wal-basar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the hearing, then the sight, and then mentions the heart. And the reason for that is when you hear something, then your eyes turn towards what you heard. And when your eyes see something, then it enters into your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, protect your hearing, protect your sight, because it will protect your heart. But we don't protect what we hear in the month of Ramadan. Music, TV, programs, all these other things, fine. Watching all of these other things, fine. And then we allow our heart to be corrupted. We do not maximize, we do not protect our senses. So your hearing, your sight, your speech, your thinking, and the things that you do with your hands, and the things that you do with your feet, and where you walk, and your sexual organs, they can all cleanse you and protect you and your heart, or they can lead you towards your corruption and your devastation and your loss and the darkness, and keep you away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to achieve. So this is the month of Ramadan in which we have to fast with the heart, and we have to make sure that we purify our heart. We have to fast with our senses, and we have to make sure that we protect our senses. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever does not give up false statements, i.e. telling lies, living a lie, seeing a lie, and telling lies, and evil deeds, if you don't give up telling lies, i.e. bad behavior and bad actions and speaking bad to others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his fasting, of him leaving his food and leaving his drink. Kardiro, you know, fast all your life for entirety, for entire life. But keep on lying, keep on backbiting, keep on stealing, keep on doing all of these bad things, and all of your fasts are wasted for you. You will get nothing except for hunger and thirst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to fast just physically. He wants us to fast with our heart and our soul. He wants us to fast with our senses. And this is what's important for us to remind ourselves before the month of Ramadan. Imagine on your gravestone it is written, here lies someone who did not fast from their tongue's poison. And the tongue is the strongest thing that can lead us towards our own destruction. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, and what causes people to be cast into the fire of hell upon their faces, thrown on their faces into the fire of hell, except for the harvest of their tongues. Hasa'idu al-sinatihi. Because of the tongues and what we say and what we reap, because of what we do not control. So fasting with your tongue deserves special attention in the month of Ramadan. The evil of the tongue and the grave consequences are completely, we do not account for them in the month of Ramadan. We just say, yes, you know, it's fine, I can say whatever I want, do whatever I want. We need to really control our tongue from all forms of lies. whether it's a black lie or a white lie, however small it may be, however large it may be, we have to protect our tongue from backbiting, from slander, from rumors, from passing on false information, from violating trust and amana, mockery, jesting, all of these things and so on and so forth. If you do not protect your tongue, then Allah has no need for your fast. And the month of Ramadan will also discard you on the day of Qiyamah as well. So fasting with your heart, fasting with your senses, fasting with your tongue is a crucial part of making sure that you reap the rewards of taqwa, of tahara, of tawheed and akhlaq in the month of Ramadan. Imagine on your tombstone it is written, "Here lies someone who did not fast from the sins of the heart." And you sin with your heart in the month of Ramadan, continue to sin. How? If you still have that kibar, that arrogance in your heart, and you think, "Oh, I'm better. Look at the food that I had, and when I went to them, they had a very limited spread. X, Y, and Z." When you have this arrogance in your heart, when you have this ghurur, this delusion in your heart, when you have this bukhl within your heart, and you do not give and share to those people that are in need, the homeless, the destitute, the poor, or giving to those people in third world countries, that you do not protect the heart from hasad, from jealousy, violent jealousy, from riyakari, from ostentatiousness, from just showing off to people, from fahsha and munkar, and from kasawa, and from the hubbu dunya. If you are not protecting your heart from all of these vices, then what is the point? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need your fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, avoid the external of sin and also the internal of sin. Don't just outwardly appear like you are fasting when inwardly you are swearing and lying and backbiting and have arrogance and so many other things within your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding you and will take you to account for your actions in your heart first and foremost before the actions on your hands. So imagine on your tombstone it's written, "Here lies someone who did not fast with spiritual vigilance," that he always think that he got away with it, when he forgot, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-watching, is the all-seeing, and is the all-hearing. So we should always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always be conscientiously aware, acutely aware, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and be engaged in a form of dhikr, be engaged in reorientating our heart and our mind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, that as for that person, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ, as for that person who feared the day where he would stand before his Lord, and because of that fear, he restrained his soul, he restrained his ego, he restrained his lust, he restrained his senses and all of those things. He restrained himself because he realized he would be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, for that person, not one Jannah, but there's also two Jannahs given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may we all enter into the beautiful and sacred month of Ramadan with peace and safety and security. But more importantly, may we all enter it with our hearts prepared to take in beautiful month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran, the month of Tahara, of Taqwa, of purification and success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to enter into the gardens of paradise. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا